just can't do it today. I just can't.
I just can't do it today. I just can't.
I do declare I cannot do it.
This might be our only chance to be funny in the pod. Because it's
not going to be a fun one, y'all.
We got some heavy things to talk about, but that's why let's just take a little bit of time to
be funny.
To tease Andrew Lewis.
Day's favorite human in the whole wide world.
I just can't do it today. I just can't.
Jersey remix.
So if you did not know what that sound clip was from, it was from the first round of the drug bill trying to get pushed forward by city council. At that time, it was a bill from Sarah Nelson teamed up with Ann Davidson.
Yeah, it was Ann Davidson, Sarah Nelson, and Alex Peterson, the deadly trio.
Damn. So like optically, it was...
It was old white people coming for everybody's necks.
Right. And the more like the right leaning members. Yeah. The conservative base of the city council. And the second, and sorry, just to pause. And so that sound bite was Andrew voting no.
Yep.
Round one.
Yep.
And starting his statement by that. What did he say, Aretha?
I just can't do it today.
I just can't.
Because we got rid of community court, and that's why he was like, I can't, guys.
Yeah, but we still don't have community court.
Also community court.
But then he just co-sponsored
the
drug bill 2.0.
Yeah.
Can you break down community court? I know it's, okay, spoiler alert, they just passed it.
Yeah.
The second time around, it's passed now. But the first time.
And we still have no community court.
Exactly why I want an explanation. Anybody? Community court?
I can't break it down thoroughly.
Sorry, friend.
It's okay. So, AKA, but it's bullshit.
I can.
Is it like Robin's rules?
Recall.
Robin?
It's Robert. Rusty's rules.
Ignorant.
Who the fuck is Robert?
Robert.
That's exactly what I said.
Robert. You know, Robert. He made the rules.
From Anak Bayan? Who the fuck is Robert?
There was one Robert. He was the first Robert.
He loved rules.
He was Robert, first of his name, who loved rules. House of Parliament.
So is it okay? We don't have to break it down because we're obviously not community court experts. That's okay. But is that like a Robert's rule thing?
I think it was no. I think it was like a diversion thing. I think it was like before going through a formal process, like being charged with a crime, you could divert it through community court, but that's needs to be fact checked.
We can definitely Google it.
Also, when Andrew Lewis said, "I just can't do it today, guys," he was sweating.
Oh man!
Well, he just heard like over an hour, 2 hours of testimony against it, right?
And he was like, fuck, I don't know if it's right for me to align on this.
Exactly.
He panicked. And then bailed.
My phone was ringing because Justin from Divest SPD is calling. I'll try to text if he wants to come on
in
like 5-10 minutes. He's been, the irony is these cops who keep getting busted for these videos, you know, the first cop laughing at John V's death, we'll get into for sure, who's still getting paid by Seattle PD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the video that just came out or the audio recording from the stranger, a cop
harassing Shinjin.
Yeah, going all out with racial slurs.
Yeah, it's been a wild week here in Seattle.
Justin, our friend from Divest SPD, he has a lot of info on these cops and has been tweeting about their penalties, their harassment claims, their OPA filing sometimes. And so, yeah, maybe we'll have him on. But, yeah, we're gonna... This is a very heavy Seattle police episode. And I know we wanted to talk about John V. first, but just because it's the most current news right now, Should we just quickly just wrap up what happened this week in the council vote on Tuesday? So yeah. We're recording on Sunday, the 24th. So just 5 days ago, city council passed the drug bill 6-3. And it was pretty similar to, I think, round one, right?
Yeah, it was brutally similar. And Councilmember Mosqueda, the greatest council member to ever do it.
Oh my God.
Like, there was amendments that tried to put... Don't you ever fucking dare put Timo and Donald Trump in the same breath.
He has too much power with that soundboard.
No, absolutely not. Anyway, what was really crazy was the attempts to try and put sideboards or to try and, like, just do any limitation on the harm this bill is going to do. Nico agrees with me. Is they didn't pass those. So, like, there was an amendment that Teresa had put forward to try and make the language around guiding SPD officers on, like, how they're going to engage with people, putting sideboards around that and making the language stronger, kind of like requiring them to, you know, go through a series of things before they arrest somebody. And she went through all this work to try and change the language to make it stronger. And then Sarah Nelson in the fucking 11th hour brings in another amendment that just completely washes all of that out and basically switches the words from, and don't quote me on this, but switches the words to may, like, they may do this. They could do this if they want to. So basically erasing all the sideboards and, like, any of the ways it could impact the way cops engage with people. Mm-hmm. It was wild. Mm-hmm. Watching those amendments go down in full council, we were all standing there. Just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And I think, didn't Dan and Andrew vote against Teresa's amendment?
Yeah.
That would have strengthened...
Yeah, Andrew said that it would be too prescriptive and that should be left up to an executive order, which is crazy.
It's ridiculous. When are we going to do a Welcome to Activist class and introduce ourselves?
Yeah.
Here it is. Our welcome.
Game we like to play. Finish this sentence.
Let's hear it.
Drugs are...
Fun.
Ooh.
Oh. Ouch.
And you know what? I'm not gonna. Drugs are
mind altering.
Oh god. What a
our shroom queen, Sarah Nelson.
Where's that clip from, Day?
A couple years ago. It's been a couple years. I want to put that out there because I don't want to pretend it like we recorded that yesterday. She could have went to drug rehab. Maybe. She could now hate drugs. Maybe now she's drugs aren't fun.
Drugs are unfun. Sarah Nelson.
A Twitter user pointed out that Sarah harvesting her own mushrooms is illegal to do without a license.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
Another Twitter user pointed out that
she's just demonstrating that drug laws are optional.
Wait, what, Myra?
She's just demonstrating that drug wars are all optional.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, Dan Strauss, too, apparently a Mastodon. You know,
that's not real. Wait, what's a mastodon?
I said it's unverified. I don't know. People can just say anything online, Day.
Okay, so what did anybody say or anyone?
What?
I don't know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Myra found a story about Dan Strauss.
No,
is it Strauss
that.
Or Strauss?
Who among us did not deal drugs when we were in high school?
I was stealing ATVs from churches.
I was buying drugs, not selling drugs.
My customers. Sorry, big hustler over here.
Yeah, my bad.
I didn't know it was called a mastodon.
I've never heard that word.
Mastodon is like Twitter. It's like another Twitter.
Mastodon?
I don't know. You toot instead of tweet. It's fucking.
You're fucking with us right now. That's not a real thing. Mastodon?
This is real.
Sounds like you're.
And that sounds like the.
It's been real for a while.
Sounds like something that happens during sex.
Saber-toothed tiger, Tyrannosaurus.
Mastodon sounds like something that happens during sex.
No, Mastodon's a Black Power Rangers dinosaur.
You toot
instead
of tweet.
What is happening?
Mastodon and Blue Sky and Threads were the like alternates to Twitter anytime Elon's doing something crazy. It's like one of the other options.
I just simply don't believe you.
Oh my God.
And this is why our podcast is always 4 hours long.
Wait, is this the thing that...
We're completely off script.
Is what's the thing that came out like right after... Wait, Threads. Mastodon's different than Threads?
Mastodon is not a real thing.
Mastodon is a separate company.
It's a company.
I think, Myra, Jack Dorsey is Blue Sky, right?
Yes.
So the original Twitter founder, his new Twitter thing is called Blue Sky.
Where you skeet.
Threads is from...
Myra, stop doing that
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
My brain's not working
100%.
But you're fucking with me right now. You know what, y'all? This is...
Just because you guys only use TikTok and YouTube Reels shorts. Oh, my God.
Look at you.
Oh, that's cool.
Look at you showing your ass.
Oh, my God. And Threads is Instagram, Facebook. It's Zuckerberg's. And I don't know who owns Mastodon.
Mastodon?
Yes.
Honestly, though.
Not what it's called. Who named that?
Skeeting is... That's funny.
Skeeting?
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
I like it.
I'm just saying that the word mastodon is...
Why? Because it sounds like masturbating?
It sounds, yeah. Someone fucking came on you. That's what that sounds like.
What?
Wow. Sorry, I masted on you.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like someone just like came on your face.
It says Mastodon was created by Eugene Rochko in 2016.
Eugene, if you're listening, which you probably aren't, I got opinions.
Apparently, Rochko made it because he didn't believe in the large American companies and their control in social media. And so he created a free open source platform that allows users to join or create independent communities.
Oh my God, I'm shitting on something
just
cool.
Just give it better branding.
Yeah, all the new Twitter things just feel overly like techie, you know?
They're
like,
really bad.
Very nerdy.
Brands.
Nothing against nerds or techies, I guess.
Yeah,
but
you guys
it's
just want to get Mastodon.
Oh yeah, now I hear it. Now I hear it. Yeah.
You see
I
what
hear
I'm
it
saying?
Now. Yeah.
That is something that's happening in some crazy porn.
Myra, which one do you think Andrew Lewis is on?
Oh, he's definitely on Discord.
Discord?
Yeah.
Oh, is he cool enough for Discord?
Everyone has Discord now. Like the uncool people have Discord.
My sister just asked me if it was okay for her 11-year-old and 9-year-old, soon to be 12 and 10, to be on Discord.
Oh.
Because that's how the kids are chatting these days. I told her
that's hard. Scary. I actually don't know if they might have good parental controls, but I don't know.
I told her you just have to make sure the servers
right,
they're
is
on is
be.
Right. The servers need to be like their friend servers, not like the random.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way maybe to like make sure that it's I don't know.
I don't think she's gonna be on like Midjourney or anything.
I don't know. I was on some weird shit when I was young. So
listen, if you weren't showing
I was
your
on
like
AOL,
like what? Myra, you have to leave early today, so you have to get your stories in the front.
That's true. That will be for another day.
You guys ever been
My sister told me that she actually had a phone call with someone she was like chatting with AOL chat room. And I was like, shut up. Because I was convinced that like the people we were like sexting with when we were little kids were other little kids.
No.
And she was like, no, they were
it's
old
so
creeps.
Easy.
Dude, what's
it's
crazy
so
is
easy
like,
to get a
everyone
creep.
Has a universal experience of showing their tits on chat roulette. You're going on chat roulette.
I'm too
yeah,
old.
But
you're
see, that's, there's shit. A generational gap right there.
Yeah, I had dial-up, bro.
I use chat roulette too a little bit.
You're showing your tits too.
I wasn't showing my tits, but there was a lot of dick.
Yeah, it's either dick
you
or
showed
tits.
Your dick?
No.
But dick you heard it here first, folks. Breaking news.
There was a lot
you
of.
You saw a dick.
There was a lot of dick being
There's
seen.
A lot of dick on chat roulette.
You showed your breasts
it's all wanking.
On
oh
chat
it's all wanking.
Me and my sister used to like...
Your
say,
sister?
Yeah, we used to say goodnight to our
oh,
family.
Oh, but not your blood sister.
No, like she's my stepsister. Right. We would literally...
Sisters see each other's boobs. That's totally normal.
Yeah, but would you flash
would you
people
on
with
the internet?
Your sister?
I don't know. Maybe. It's the only thing that's
but
gross.
But no, none of us knew what the...
Damn you.
Wait, Aretha. When you talk about flashing people with chat roulette, does that mean that like your shirt was up like before
Dude,
they entered the room?
You're
like,
that
the
you
first
know.
Thing that they got was like,
wait.
It's just like, okay, so me and my sister would like eat dinner with our family, then go upstairs, lock the door, and we would get on the laptop and we would both take our shirts off and we'd sit next to each other and we would put it so that the laptop was just like, you didn't see our faces. It was just our neck. It was just our boobs. And we were just on chat roulette fucking going.
See, girls
going.
Are creeps too. Yeah. Equality.
And people would like...
inappropriate creeps.
I need to call my sister right now.
tell her to like. Girls are doing on the internet.
Girls are doing crazy.
Oh yeah, the kids are exposed. Yeah.
I mean, I was in high school when we were doing this.
I was playing League of Legends,
and I was showing my tits on chat roulette.
Wow.
Welcome back to Activist Class. Yeah.
Should we do the intro now? We skipped it.
It's too late. We just did it.
No, just do it.
No, you did the intros.
We didn't say like hi.
We didn't say that. Yeah.
Okay, if we need a formal intro, this is our second episode back of Activist Class. Our first episode was kind of like a soft launch. We had some Spotify problems. We just found out Stitcher didn't exist. So it was really just on Apple, iTunes, and that was it. But this one, you know,
this is real.
The first one was real.
So real. Love you, Howard.
First one was real.
Love Howard.
Love Howard. 100. Shout out Howard. We're going to have him back. I'm going to buy him a new microphone, and we'll have him back. But the second episode, it's not like it wasn't planned, but there was for sure some urgency with it.
Yeah.
Right? And I just want to say SPD had quite a PR month. although, and we'll talk about it, but I don't know about you, but it SPD feels weirdly stronger than I even thought they were. Or SPOG. Ooh. I should say SPOG.
Yeah.
Because they've taken a lot of blows. And it doesn't seem like there's any actual threat to Mike Sloan, the VP.
It's hard. You have to change, I think, state law because, in order to abolish SPOG.
Yeah, like we are a very like labor heavy state, and because SPOG is, you know, quote unquote a labor union, they get to hide under so many things because
labor
of that.
Protections, which are it's, good labor protections.
Yeah, like
but
we love labor protections, but like one
armed agents of the state.
Yeah, SPOG should not exist. Abolish SPOG. That's it's yeah.
One of the things that we can demand is transparent negotiations. SPOG is currently negotiating their labor contract with the city right now, and all of that happens behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And so no one from the community can see what those conversations look like. And that's actually something that all of us can pressure as an accountability measure, but
I don't know if they can break that open. Because the like with like other negotiations, because I remember this question coming up where like if you think about other insert a different negotiating thing, but I think they have to be closed because of labor laws.
I think that was one of the Labor for Black Lives demands.
Mm.
So I don't know the like process make that happen.
Right.
But
I remember what ended up happening, like one change that did get made was we were able to get like someone from the CPC or someone from like from one of the accountability partners to be able to be part of, I don't know if they're at the table negotiating, but at least in some of like the LRPC meetings where council members are like setting parameters so that they can help with some of those things, like a technical advisor.
Mm.
That I think that it's not what you're saying, but that was like a concession that
I
got
think
made.
Labor and the city would both have to agree to make the negotiations transparent, and SPOG's the city never, wouldn't do
the
it,
city yeah. wouldn't do that. SPOG wouldn't do that.
It's not that the city wouldn't do that, you think?
I was saying SPOG would never do that.
Yeah.
Do we want to break down a little bit more about the drug bill? Because I feel like you're bringing up these really important public health pieces. And if there's one example of people completely spitting in the face of public health, it is this drug bill that just got passed.
Yes, let's talk about it. I'll start. You know,
I'm violently hungover, and so I keep coming in and out of consciousness.
Is Day coming back, by the way?
I don't know.
Let's just keep talking until he comes back. Because
we don't need him.
We don't need him. Well, we do need him deeply. Welcome to ASMR from Bodily Functions.
I didn't know what button to press.
Choose anyone.
Oh, God. At random.
No. So,
on Tuesday.
The public comment on Tuesday of...
We were fired.
Opponents of the drug crime bill were so incredible.
I know.
In particular, people who have been impacted by...
Yeah.
The criminal punishment system, and who've been unhoused and who are drug users. And one woman, I think from Share Wheel, is it Share Wheel or is it just Wheel? Am I tripping?
I don't think it's Wheel. I think it's Share.
Just Share?
I don't know.
Did I make up Wheel?
I think it's Share Wheel.
We'll edit it later.
Yep. Damn, we don't know anybody's name.
This is terrible. Anyway, she was like, look, guys, like, it does not work to force people into treatment. And right now, we do not have enough beds. We do not have enough case managers. We do not have enough supportive services for people who are raising their hand and asking for it.
Yeah.
And the minute that you start filtering more people into the system because cops are intervening in public drug use, which is targeting unhoused people, mm-hmm. you're going to overload our system and take up spaces in it that with people who are not ready for yeah. treatment and take it away from people who are. And yeah. it doesn't make any sense to do this. It doesn't make any sense to do this before the mayor's budget has been dropped because there's no guarantee that there's going to be enough money in the budget to support treatment. We know we're going to head into a deficit. And we're going to have to make really hard cuts, which yeah. very rarely fall down on SPD.
Exactly.
So how is this a response that is going to do anything to help people who are experiencing a public health crisis other than lock them up in King County Jail to die?
Yep. So a little bit of like table setting on what the bill is, right? Because, you know, it so often these things get caught up in jargon and are very confusing for folks, and they're meant to be so that people don't engage. But what this bill does at its core is it expands the powers of our city attorney and Davidson to be able to prosecute misdemeanor drug possession. This is a power she does not currently have, and that power has been sitting with the King County prosecutor, who has already said this is not something that we're going to spend capacity on, like on their list of priorities of things that they prosecute. This is not on the top of it. And so by targeting, I think, public use of drugs rather than harm reduction, rather than safe consumption, rather than any of the other strategies that we know actually help people in a public health crisis, it's, again, looping us back into that toxic relationship with criminal punishment. And the argument that kept getting made on Tuesday was that since this law already went into effect at the state level, that, you know, this, we're not doing anything crazy because this already exists at the state level. But empowering Ann Davidson, some of the folks that I was organizing with this week brought up a really good point, that empowering Ann Davidson is empowering SPD in their day-to-day interactions, because now SPD is going to be incentivized to harass the shit out of unhoused neighbors mm-hmm. who are predominantly Black and Indigenous. And so the racial disparities that already exist within the criminal legal system are just going to get completely confounded. Like, this is going to have a disastrous effect on people's lives. And this so clearly just spits in the face of public health, because drug use is a public health crisis. And mm-hmm. Something that really stood out to me, a couple of things really stood out to me, was one, when Councilor Mosqueda, the greatest council member to ever do it.
I didn't know her name was that long.
It's her full title. was pointing out that, and, you know, Teresa is the budget chair, so she's always going to be very like hyper vigilant about this. But the number that they keep talking about, this $27 million, broken out over, you know, however many years, it comes out to like roughly like $1 million per year. And then when you add in operating costs, that number goes down even more to like a couple hundred thousand, which is silly to think that that is going to adequately address the amount of people that are going to get flooded into mm-hmm. the criminal legal system. So there's the budgetary component of that. But then what I really liked that Tammy had said was...
Shout out to Tammy,
who's also a very great council member, is that the head of public health, Dr. Faisal Khan, has put out recommendations on how we actually address the drug use epidemic that's going on. Like, that is a government authority that exists, doesn't matter like what part of the political world you live on, that exists. And she has already put recommendations out on what people should be doing. Meanwhile, our city council is passing a law like this. It's crazy. It's crazy making.
I always wondered who they're doing this for. Because like you were just pointing, like we know that this doesn't work. Forced treatment is very traumatizing, and it is something that you need to set up. You need to set up your whole life to accept treatment, because I've seen friends go through it, and you have to essentially pause your life. You can't work. You can't take care of your family. Your family obviously can't take care of you. That's why you're in treatment, right? It's a huge time commitment, and people need to have, and it's expensive on top of all of that, right? On top of everything you have to set right to finally say, yes, I need treatment, right? Like, I am addicted to this. I need to get better. My health is in shambles, right? So I always wonder who is this for when they know that the majority of people that do seek treatment in the city get turned away because there's not enough space. Like, already alone, they know that they don't have adequate.
The system is bursting at its seams.
And can we talk about, the trauma of detoxing or going through withdrawal in KCJ?
It's painful.
Like, can you imagine?
People have been dying in that jail. That's one of the deadliest jails. And we're just going to flood that now with folks who are who deeply need resources. It's a decrepit jail. The county just got sued by the ACLU because of how bad the conditions are in there.
Yeah. My friend actually, my childhood friend, had a mental health crisis and was put in KCJ and had to detox in KCJ. And then when she came out, she was unhoused and had to, figure out where to stay, ended up meeting just random people who she could cling on to for community, for safety, for support or whatever, started using again and stayed unhoused for a longer period because of how traumatic the experience of KCJ was. Also lost her job.
Oh my gosh.
Because you can't call your workplace while you're on the inside.
There's just no way to stabilize. And it's all
they didn't give her medication. She was detoxing off of prescribed pharmaceuticals for her, and then also whatever else.
Yeah.
It's just it's harmful.
It is harmful.
Were you guys expecting a different result after the John V video came out?
I was hoping that that would, I was hoping that it would resonate with council members. And I'm realizing that that was stupid to have that hope. I remember when I went to go testify in the committee meeting, and I was walking with my dog early that morning, and there was a Seattle Times newspaper on our doorstep that had the news about John V., the audio going public, and I brought it with me to public comment, and I was waving it in my hand. I was like, this is who you all want to trust to make in day-to-day decisions on who is going to get diverted. That's crazy. Look at what they think of people that they kill. And you would hope that people would, that would change someone's mind. But it just, no.
And I wonder if that the reason why no one takes it, doesn't make that leap, right? Because you're right, these are the people, this is the collective being that will enforce mental health.
Basically.
Who deserves treatment, who doesn't, right? They get to, it's going to be their judgment.
Yeah.
And maybe we are too quick of saying, that's just one bad guy, right? Yeah. We will just, we'll make sure he gets fired or he gets training. You know, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Never mind that this guy has made mistakes for
he had a whole track
decade,
record.
Right? Or something like that. This is one bad apple that keeps repeating it over and over, and that he represents other police officers because he's the vice president or something, right? So if the vice president of an organization has this much resentment for the people they're supposed to protect, they're not going to care about a person that's going through withdrawals.
The VP
of SPOC.
Should we play the audio?
Yeah,
okay, we'll play it real quick.
I think she went up on the hood, hit the windshield, Jesus. And when he hit the brakes, flew off the car. Oh my God. But she is dead.
Oh my God. This is no, sickening.
It's a regular person. Yeah, just write a check.
Oh my God.
Just. Yeah. $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value.
Oh my God. Dude.
Pretty who has value disgusting. Then? Who has value? The people that own $2 million, $8 million, $20 million properties?
I feel like who has value? That is such a precise number that he threw out, too. Mm-hmm. That's like coming from a man who is intimately aware of these cases that go through SPD.
Mm-hmm. And that fines and don't matter. And that fines don't matter.
Fines don't matter. And also, like... Mm. He's stating precedents, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he knows mm-hmm. down to the exact amount mm-hmm. how much this family is likely going to get paid out.
And that's nothing.
Because it's all risk, right? It's a calculated risk, right? They're okay risking innocent people's lives from John V down to, you know, someone, you know, on the street with a mental illness, right? Like... Oh shit! I lost my train of thought.
Well, it's like
no, I have the number for how much the city has spent on.
Love you, Myra.
I can't.
We keep in it all.
It's like rich people who are like, eh, I'm running late. Let's just park there. I don't need to pay for the parking. Mm. And it's just
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, fines just mean it's legal in another way, right?
Right. It's like me never paying for the light rail.
I mean,
okay, you shouldn't. You guys. So in 2021, Seattle spent nearly $8 million on police actions, and the 2023 budget holds nearly $9 million for police actions. So you're right. Like, they literally know that cutting a check is the most likely outcome, and it doesn't matter. That mm-hmm. This is why they feel like they can kill people with impunity.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant to say. It's a line item that they calculate is better to do than to actually change what they, like, their whole organization.
Does that line item get figured out every budget, or does that get negotiated?
I mean, the whole budget gets negotiated, right?
I meant in the contract, but actually after I said that, it doesn't make sense that it would be in the contract. It makes sense that it would be in the budget.
I think you're right. I think it probably is a budget, but I don't know that for sure.
How did you guys react when you first saw it going like really viral? Because this was the first, mm-hmm. probably the first viral police related news since CHOP.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think so. I mean, so obviously, like, as a South Asian person, it hit in like a very specific way, right? And what was crazy is seeing South Asian influencers, public figures, like, people back home are talking about it. And, you know, like, speaking for myself, like, as a South Asian person who has, like, been organizing around SPD and policing in Seattle for so long, it just was, like, the wildest number of intersections. And I really, like, for the first couple days, like, I just felt so sick because I kept going online and I kept seeing, like, all of these influencers posting about it, and they were so mad. And of course, like, the rage makes sense, but my brain was like, yo, like, this is Seattle police has been killing people for so fucking long. Mm-hmm. Like, Charlena Lyles, John T. Wood, like, there's so many names, especially in our city, and this outrage was not the same. And, like, so that is why me and, like, a couple other amazing South Asian community members got together and wrote this op-ed in The Stranger, basically calling that out of, like, yes, South Asian community, be upset about John V. This is so fucked up. It's so heartbreaking what happened to this girl. And you need to know that this police department has been acting this way for a very long time, to the point that the federal government had to come and intervene because of how bad things were here in Seattle. And people, you know, they always think that Seattle is just the progressive beacon of the world, but our shit stinks. Like, mm-hmm. it does. And, you know, the timing of our of John V's, the audio about John V's killing coming out, I think coincided with the consent decree pieces of it getting closed out too. And so it's just like, even the highest level of government that we had came to Seattle and made the thing true that we already knew was true, that Seattle police are racist and just are murderers. And even that does not change who they are. And people keep leaning back on reforms. You know, that happens very naturally, right? Like something tragic like this happens and then governments are going to scramble to be like, okay, like how do we appease them? How do we make sure that this doesn't turn into another Mike Brown, another, you know, George Floyd? And so they'll concede these reforms. They'll talk, you know, that's how we got body cams. That's how we got a lot of these like accountability measures. But policing is just rotten to its core. And so the outrage around John V makes so much sense, but it was frustrating for me personally because of how long SPD has been showing their ass to people.
Yeah, and you mentioned the people SPD have killed in the past, and it's not like just the far left.
No.
We're like, oh yeah, look how bad they, I mean, there's a consent decree.
Literally, the government was like, yeah.
The federal government was like,
yeah.
The things around John T. Williams, yeah. Something's fucked up.
Exactly.
And you're going to go on this, I mean, supposed heavy hand oversight. I mean.
Yeah. What actually happened? Like, what came out of that?
I mean, SPD doesn't change. Right.
Right. Yeah, it's it just got fully lifted, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think parts of it definitely got closed out. I don't know for sure if the whole thing got closed out. But again, it's like the point remains, right? Even the federal government was like, SPD is fucked up.
Right. So you have that going on within the Asian, South Asian community. Video drops and then boom. And then the Wing Luke Museum gets attacked.
Yeah. It happened, I think, on Thursday last week. A 76-year-old white man with a sledgehammer started breaking the windows of the Wing Luke Museum. And he was screaming out, like, the Chinese ruined my life. The Chinese ruined my life. Inside the museum at the time, there was, like, a group visiting, a national group from Sudu for Solidarity. And they are Japanese Americans who focus on telling the story of Japanese American incarceration and also doing work, immigrant rights work around ending detention and deportation and abolitionist work.
Do you mind just breaking down the Wing Luke real quick just for people who aren't familiar? I mean, people should be, but just I mean, it's an important
ground setting.
It's a staple in the Seattle community and nationally too.
Yeah, I'll try to do it quickly. The Wing Luke Museum is one of the only Pan-Asian American museums in the nation, in the country. It's a Smithsonian affiliate, and it's a heritage museum as much as it is an arts museum. Mm. A lot of Asian American museums, like the Seattle Asian American Art Museum in Volunteer Park here, is a fine arts museum, but doesn't tell the Asian American story that's local to our area. And that is the mission of the Wing Luke Museum, not just, you know, jade artifacts and Buddhas, but actually telling the story of our people and of our experiences. And so the museum was closed at this time. There was, except for this group with Sudu, and the 76-year-old man is breaking the windows and screaming. The people inside the building hear these like loud booms. They don't know what's going on. They think that the museum is being attacked. Some people think that it's like a bomb going off.
Oh my God.
And people inside the building run down and are the first on the scene. They're
using a sledgehammer and, like, and smashing the windows.
The windows are very, very big, too. Yeah. They're like floor-to-ceiling windows. They're large.
They're museum windows.
And so the folks inside the building run out and are the first to respond to this incident, right? Mm. They're the first to de-escalate, to get the man to like calm down, step away, to engage him in conversation, to try to get him to like set down the sledgehammer, which he had turned into a weapon, and then to eventually like apprehend the sledgehammer. And the people inside the museum, I think, had called the cops. And the cops said that they couldn't respond, that their hands were tied, that they couldn't come and assist in the situation because it was property damage and no one was being physically hurt, and that there weren't enough cops on site or something to respond. But there were like six police just like down the street chilling, you know, like getting ready for Beyonce's concert to start. It was the same day as her concert. And there's also a mobile precinct. Yeah. On 12th Avenue.
Overtime,
huh?
Overtime.
Yeah, overtime.
And the ridiculousness of it all, right, which we already know, is that like we don't need cops in that situation anyway. Like mm-hmm. our community had the experience and the skills and the ability to disarm and de-escalate the situation, and the cops were going to show up after the fact anyway. But it didn't even matter about them showing up after the fact because they showed up 2 hours late and they said that there was nothing that they could do. And as this relates to John V and the drug crime bill, this happened like the week before, right? It was mm-hmm. Thursday, and then the drug crime bill was going to be heard on Tuesday the following week. And the community, like some community members in the CID, immediately reacted by calling for a heightened police presence in the community, right? Like they were upset that when they called the police said that their hands were tied and they couldn't respond. They were upset that they were experiencing a racially motivated incident of vandalism. And they were scared because these incidents have been happening more frequently with Asian Americans being targeted with home invasions. And so I think that folks responded pretty immediately by asking for more community safety officers, for police to be stationed in the CID 24/7, for there to be like a cop car in the neighborhood at all times. Or
they took this incident as a, okay, we're getting fucking more cops here.
Exactly. Yeah. There was like a, there was just like this swell, right? This like groundswell of like folks being like, We need cops.
Permanent patrol car, right?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. They're still not going to get out.
Doesn't Fobok have one?
What?
That little.
Hate them.
Well.
No, I don't.
I mean.
No, they have that little pho.
The mobile precinct, and there's constant calls.
I meant they're like pho patrol car. That ticket.
Are you spreading rumors right now?
No, that ticket motorcycle.
Dude, I want one so bad.
Yeah, what is it called?
The little tripod car.
Yes,
I want one so bad.
I also want one. Yeah. My friend wanted to buy one to sell musubis out of.
I've seen one. Some people sell ice cream from them.
Yes, and Fubok had one to deliver pho during the pandemic.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
cute. Cool.
They always think I'm lying, Myra.
No, I... Okay.
Mastodon?
Yeah.
Tying it all back. Side has been
folks also were calling for sweeps, right?
Yeah.
Because they were like, this happened, you know, da-da-da-da. But in reality, like, zooming out, like, if you... I actually, like, felt immediately, like, uncomfortable that this dude's photo was everywhere. Like, he just... Not to excuse the behavior and the fact that it was like clearly a racially motivated attack, but like he looked so sad and old and pathetic, you know, he just like didn't seem like he actually was there to like be violent and violently hurt someone. Like he sat down against the building,
put the sledgehammer down. He also just got swept or something. Like, exactly.
Like I'm getting to that point, but maybe I'm getting there in a bad way. But like he sat down and he waited for the cops to come. And this guy, like you find out, had been living out of his car and his car window was broken, which is his home.
Yeah.
And it happened in Chinatown because that's where his car was parked. And that is what motivated him to like come into the neighborhood and break the windows of the Wing Luke Museum because the Chinese ruined his life.
Oh my gosh.
And immediately before this car break-in happened, and I learned this from someone who I organize with. Like, mm-hmm. we came together, many formations in the CID came together to, like, debrief and process the events and, like, also, like, just talk about and build our analysis around, like, what happened. Yeah. So I'm not claiming all of this on my own. Like, this is a community-wide effort. But, like, this person pointed out that, like, the violence that came down on the Wing Luke Museum through this person mm-hmm. happened because a sweep had happened, and after sweeps happens, cars get broken into more frequently because people are destabilized, yeah. they're more desperate.
Well, they're pissed too, yeah, most truly. Importantly.
They're like, looking for resources.
Yeah.
And so this guy, who was already homeless, yeah. got his house broken into and then acted out violence. So the fact that, like, we do not have resources that exactly. can house people in our city, we are causing acts of violence through sweeps. Like, that yeah. violence filters down into our community
yeah.
and is state violence. And so the fact that, like, we're calling for more police, the same people who are causing at the root the destabilization in our communities because we are not investing in true public health responses is connected to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that has been part of how we've been wanting to frame, you know, the Wing Luke vandalism. And instead, like, there are folks like Tanya Wu who are running against Tammy Morales in D2,
woo-hoo.
Who politicized this incident
yeah.
and led a small, very small march of folks, CID seniors, to the Wing Luke, or to, sorry, City Council on Tuesday for the drug hearing to use the incident as an excuse to call for more police.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's so wild that these things are all happening around the same time where it feels sad that our communities are calling for more officers as this news is breaking about the comments that they're making about the South Asian girl.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's just so sad that we don't have more resources to address the true problems of what's going on. Like, Chrissy so clearly laid out how it's kind of like a domino effect. And the dependence on policing really breaks my heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because people want to feel safe and they have a right to be safe. Mm-hmm. And it's fucked up that policing... we've become like dependent on policing for that feeling mm-hmm. of safety that, and then when we question that, you know, we get called crazy and all sorts of things like on the left, but
yeah,
it's like a toxic boyfriend. I think we're in a really toxic relationship with policing and we need to break up with them.
Yeah.
It's because we use them for conflict resolution.
Exactly.
Which yeah. can be done in so many different ways mm-hmm. that are not necessarily someone with a gun.
Yeah.
And to that point, Myra, like the elders in the community or folks just who like are not necessarily like coming from an abolitionist
yeah.
stance are like, well, what's the solution otherwise? What's the yeah. solution otherwise? Like, what else are we going to do? And that leads to demands like for more community safety officers, which are currently housed in SPD. That leads mm-hmm. for demands like the strengthening around hate crime bills and prosecuting yes. hate crime bills.
Yeah.
And that actually has been shown to disproportionately impact Black and brown yep. people.
Exactly.
More. Like,
exactly.
There's like federal data that shows that people of color are more likely to get charged with a hate crime than exactly. a white person.
Yeah.
And so these types of things, I think, you know, are not the solutions, but then they're like, okay, kids, well, what is?
Yeah.
And the first thing I think is, one, when we're like overemphasizing the need for police, we're de-emphasizing the skill that we have in the community
exactly.
around de-escalation. Like, we actually do take care of ourselves. And that is clearly what happened as a result of the Wing Luke Museum vandalism. The community apprehended and de-escalated that situation first before the police came. And also, community service officers should not be in SPD.
No, and they don't want to leave, unfortunately.
Like, they're inside yeah. of a toxic culture. The
yes.
supervisors there are like, one person comes from Texas and it was like a border patrol agent. Like, Jesus. We yeah. want that person to be in our communities as a community safety officer.
Oh my God.
No. They're not coming from a public health training. Yeah. They're getting their training from inside of SPD.
Yep.
They are not mental health clinicians. They are not drug user health clinicians. Yeah. They are coming from the same, honestly, like the same culture that reinforces the Andrew Lewis soundbite of if people don't want to accept services, then they need accountability, and accountability is the criminal punishment.
Exactly. And what's crazy, like I keep saying, and what's crazy, this is not crazy. This is just who these people are. But there are solutions that help stabilize people so that that domino effect that you're talking about doesn't happen, right? Like RV safe lots. If you give someone a place to just be safe, they will feel safe. And then these domino effects won't happen. RV safe lots, safe consumption sites, like tiny house villages. Like there's so many strategies that if we really threw down the way people throw down for policing or like, we need more cops, we would see a turn, but we haven't actually been able to implement those strategies to a scale. And so we keep ending up in these same situations, right? And then the need for police gets reinforced. It really is like the most toxic relationship of all time. Like the worst ex that we just cannot break up with. Mm-hmm. So there's a through line in all of the things that we're talking about that I think we want to make very, very clear. The drug bill, part of what was really, really terrifying about that, and we talked about this in an earlier episode, is the SPD portion of it. And so what that bill is going to do is it's entrusting SPD in their day-to-day interactions to use their discretion to basically determine if someone poses a threat of actual harm. And as we've seen in the comments made about John V, SPD does not give a shit about people that they interact with on the day-to-day, especially people that they kill. Mm-hmm. And so entrusting this department to make those decisions about people's lives is not going to go well at all. And the mayor in I don't know if this already happened, but proponents of the bill were saying that the mayor's office will put out an executive order that's going to give guidance to SPD on how to implement this and to basically put the sideboards in to make sure that SPD doesn't treat people badly. But in the central staff memo about this bill, so council central staff literally said that there's nothing in the ordinance to make sure that there's nothing that prevents officers from making an arrest. They are allowed to do that under this bill, and there's no sideboards to actually stop them from making terrible calls. And, you know, right after the drug bill passed on Tuesday, a couple days later, another story breaks about SPD making more comments about someone. And I think, Day, you can talk more about that.
Yeah, so the stranger just broke a story. I think Ashley... Sorry, I'm probably going to butcher her last name.
Ashley, we love you, but we don't know how to say your last name.
Stranger, crime reporter, police reporter.
Hella fire.
She's pretty new. But
she's been busting her ass with all these stories.
Yeah. I mean, she just dropped a big one. I think it was Friday.
I think it was on Friday.
I will say Friday is a strange day to drop a story. But that's
Ashley wanted us to stew over the weekend in our anger.
Well, so there was an audio recording that came out from, and you can hear an off-duty officer basically harass and verbally assault his neighbor.
Yeah, neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And, do you guys want to give a little bit more context?
Also threaten, I think, to, like, arrest her and throw her in jail.
Right. You racial slurs, specifically against... Asian communities, and you know the victim was an Asian woman.
Racist and sexist. Yeah, called her a fucking
cunt. That's true. Multiple c words used by this cop. It's I don't know, I've been seeing a lot of I'm not surprised comments.
Imagine like getting into an altercation with an off-duty cop and him being like, I'm gonna throw your ass in jail. And you're like the one of the sole caretakers of your elderly family.
Yeah.
I'd be so like, scary. What the fuck?
And these are their neighbors. Like, your home doesn't feel safe then.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. And this is, these comments are coming out literally a week after the John V comments are coming out.
Also, the power trip of it all. I'm going to throw your ass in jail. Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck that, dude.
Yeah. It's so scary.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And, you know, to everyone's points, and, you know, we've talked about it throughout the episode, but just surface level, like, how do you trust a department with how many bad apples can... It's like a whole Trader Joe's recall.
The bad apple thing, yeah. I'm just like, come on, guys.
A Trader Joe's recall.
It's bad.
It's bad.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, there's so much nuance, especially within the CID community, Asian American community, immigrant community, that I'm not sure if they... There's a lot to navigate, I think.
But what's so funny is Asian Americans are the ones that are the...
Token.
The ones that always get used to co-sign
Tanya Wu.
Policing, expansion, punishment, expansion, all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, remember when Jenny Durkin came to the CID and did that press conference? Mm-hmm. And we're like... Yeah. One, girl, get out of here.
The good protester. Are you just talking about like the day after the initial George Floyd protests when some windows in the CID got broken because the police corralled everyone downtown to protect downtown business core and pushed them back out south through the CID and then some windows were broken? And then Jenny Durkin and Carmen Bess were in the CID in Hing Hang Park the very next day doing the good protester, bad protester thing.
Yeah.
Where are the wedge on the issues?
So we have elections coming up in what? 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
November.
Early November. SPOG is still currently in negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're bargaining for their new contract.
They're bargaining for their new contract, yeah.
So there are things that are happening currently that maybe organizers...
The mayor's going to release his budget next week. The city council is going to negotiate it.
That's going to happen very, very quickly. So like budget gets dropped last week of September and they have to have it wrapped up right before Thanksgiving.
I would recommend community follow what's happening with solidarity budget demands. Mm-hmm. That was something that came out of the 2020 uprisings.
Yep.
And a part of the Defund SPD campaign. Organizations across the sector, human services, public safety, housing, health, to come together around like solidarity demands for the budget and to defund SPD and reinvest in public health and safety and the things that really keep us safe. And instead, like, I think folks had just in the past submitted their own budgets or their own
organizations were just lobbying demands. For themselves.
Yeah, lobbying for themselves and would be pitted against each other pretty uniformly.
So there are things that community can do and show up for.
Yeah, there's active fights for sure.
Right. Just because there's, you know, whenever these type of stories drop and it gets this type of national attention, And it's so negative, and especially as organizers or leftists, you're out there and you don't see much consequence happen.
Yeah.
Very little to no accountability. I think there could be a feeling of hopelessness.
Yeah. That's definitely settled in my heart.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, because we're called the activist class.
Yeah,
but we're not the class for activists.
But
it's a joke.
I guess my question is like, what can people do now?
Well, people can come to a protest that we're organizing on October 1st in Seward Park. A group of South Asians, a new formation called SARI. Shout out to the homies organizing that, which is South Asians Resisting Imperialism, and then South Asians for Black Lives. We are co-hosting in a direct action on the 1st. So that's one way where we're going to be kind of rolling out another set of demands very specifically around SPOG and SPD, you know, in honor of John V. That's one thing. And then also what Chrissy said about following solidarity budget, because that is an active fight and we need more capacity. So would love for folks to get involved with that work.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good way to wrap up. You know, we're not going to do Gossip Guy this round. We promise. We're going to make it a regular segment.
Yeah.
I don't want to say promise like it's going to be every week, but it's a regular
segment. Wait, this was a rush job.
Well, it was a rush job because it was an urgent podcast because so much was going on. Yeah. Aretha just dropped her op-ed. You know, the wing, place and institution that we care deeply about, there's a lot of heavy conversations going on there. These videos are crazy.
They're dropping left and right.
Yeah, SPD. I mean, I don't know what's next. I mean, Chief Diaz is going through his own drama.
What?
Firing cops for spreading rumors about his infidelity.
I did not hear that.
Wait, that happened?
What?
Yes, yes, but the cop got fired for spreading rumors. That
but Chief cops don't get fired for fucking killing people? That's crazy.
Chief Diaz had like a love affair rumor with somebody he hired or something. But
you know what? All those motherfuckers are messy. They're fucking each other. They're doing drugs, allegedly. And then they're criminalizing people for it.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, which is why we're here. We'll talk about the Chief Diaz stuff next time.
Oh my God, please.
I think we gotta let it develop a little bit more. Yeah, but you're right, Aretha. Fired for rumor spreading.
But that's then paid wild. Leave for killing people and using racial slurs. It's just Seattle police for you.
Yeah. Well, we will be back next time.
We will be back next
time.
It's
been great, y'all.
It's been
really back.
We're back. Gossip Guy next time. Cancel Court next time. Christy, do you want to do the Cancel Court song?
Cancel Court is now in session.
Season 2, Episode 2 in the books.
Hey.
We'll see you next time.
Gossip Guy.
You're so good at that.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.